Do you have a philosophy of life to share with your descendants or anyone who may come in contact with your story?
I think that my philosophy of life is perhaps that we are traveling this path not alone. We must have company. Man is a social animal, and as such, I think he has to be a friend. And in order to have friends, he must be one. I think he, when he's asked to take part in something, that he should do it to the best of his ability, whether it's work or recreation or what it might be. I remember asked one time to interview a prospect for the Masonic Order. And I asked him why he wanted to join. And he told me that he had learned how to recognize Masons by their ring or something, and that he said they seemed to have a philosophy of life that he wanted for himself. And I had to agree with him that I think that Masonic Order practices high principles, and they do have a philosophy of life which suits me fine.
Perfect. Well said. Do you have a favorite philosopher, teacher, or writer who best expresses what you've just shared with us?
No. I think what I have said, I may have picked up from many sources.
Okay. Do you have particularly strong religious leanings or strong religious beliefs that may adhere to your philosophy?
I think my religious beliefs are not necessarily strong. Neither would I consider them to be weak, but I don't like to think that I'm a fanatic, but I also think that we must, of necessity, have a faith and a belief.
You sound very secure in your position and lot in life.
I think so.
What things have given you the most satisfaction and pleasure?
Well, I don't know. I think other people have been my most enjoyment. You can't have a game of bridge without other people. And I enjoyed bridge throughout the years. I have enjoyed the church work.
Right.
I've been on vestry and whatnot quite a lot. And I've enjoyed the time that I worked. And the work involves other people. I think perhaps my biggest enjoyment is working with people, or being in touch with them.
Okay. What would you consider to be your most important achievement?
I don't know.
Maybe you've yet to achieve it. Maybe you're still working on it.
Perhaps I'm still looking for it, yeah.
Is there anything that sticks out in your mind as the funniest thing that ever happened to you?
Well, there's been a number of funny things, I think. I don't know if I can name any right offhand.
Right. What do you remember of the expropriation in 1952-53?
Well, I was at arm's length on this one. I was not personally involved because I was living at the time in Moncton. And although my parents were still there, and my brother, three of my brothers were still there in that area, I felt quite bad about it, that these communities were going to have to be evacuated, that this land was not going to be productive anymore. And where was the support for those people coming from? Well, that wasn't really a big question, I guess, but, you know, I thought it was. Mm-hmm. But as I say, I wasn't as involved as somebody who had to move out of there.
Right.
And I saw people had to move from there who had been there themselves their lifetime, and probably their father and father before him.
So
lasted about
family.
2 years after they 2 years after they had to move out of there, they were dead.
When word came down about the expropriation, who told you?
Well, in my case, I'm not sure who told me. I think it was public when I learned about it.
Right. When you did have an opportunity to discuss it with your family, were they upset?
I think they were upset, but my dad was one who could take things as they came. I think his move in that regard was probably wise. You can appreciate that when these people had to move out of there, they had to find places to live. And being farmers, they were going to be farming. So my dad took the settlement that was offered and bought a place in Lower Millstream prior to the price of these places going up due to demand. I suspect that he was able to buy a place over there $15,000 or $20,000 less than he would have the next year.
Right. So a smart move on your father's behalf.
I think so.
Right.
And they had a bigger farm and a better farm, and at one point he had 900 acres there. Well, in Armstrong's Corner, I think it was 300 acres.
Right. Had you discussed it with your family in later visits, the expropriation?
No, not as such. It was a foregone fact, and accepted it as such, I think.
Yeah. Right. So you would probably concur that your family was better off then?
Yes, I think they were, yeah.
Do you think they missed their home?
Oh, definitely.
Right.
Yeah, I think anybody that moved out of there did. It was a different kettle of fish altogether. They knew the people that were there. They moved into another area where they had to make friends again and did not know necessarily anyone there already. So they had to be accepted into that community. It must have been a traumatic move for those people. As I say, it didn't bother me because I was not there.
Right. Have you ever been back to the location where your family had once lived?
The last time I was in there would be 1970. Now, I know many of my contemporaries get in there every year, and maybe more frequently. I have not done that. I think I tend to leave it as I remember it.
Right. Very well.
It seems to go in there now and see no buildings, no farms, a desolation, it's not particularly attractive to me.
Right. Do you wonder, in your mind's eye, in picturing how it used to be, do you wonder what the communities might be like today?
In that same area?
Right.
There's no community there.
Right. Do you wonder if the expropriation had not taken place?
Oh, I see what you mean. Sometimes wonder if it would be about the same as it was. I'm not sure. There were farms in there, mind you, that they were not capable of making a living from. Only when the family unit was there, and they had the concerted effort on the part of the family. There's no way that some of those farms would sustain people now. You had to go to a bigger place, a bigger farm.
Right.
And a lot of that land wasn't as good as all that.
Right.
My father had a good land, a good farm. It was on the Nerepus River, which flooded every spring, brought down a silt that meant that you didn't have to plow the intervals. As a matter of fact, if you plowed the intervals, it would be down the river the next spring anyway. And it produced good crops as it was.
Right. So, all for the best then, that the military moved into Gagetown.
I'm inclined to think probably yes.
Right.
I think we have to admit that most of that, a good portion of that land in there, was hillside.
Right.
I remember being up to King's Landing here one day with a friend, and I said, "There's a hillside plow." And he looked at me, thought I was kidding him, you know. And I said, "It is. It is a hillside plow." I said, "You can trip that moldboard over and go back in the other direction and turn the sod downhill."
He didn't believe
it. But there were a number. Yeah, he didn't believe it. But there were a number of hillside plows in use in that area.
You remember them fondly.
Yeah.
And so, were you offered in your parents' later years to come back and take over the farm?
No.
No?
No.
It was never an option?
No. No. There were, as I've indicated, there were four boys. The youngest boy was the one who stayed with my dad on the farm.
Right.
The others, two of them had their own farms. The third one had worked for the railway in Ontario,
right,
and retired from there. So, there was no. The farm progressed to the youngest son.
Okay. And is there a family member operating a farm today?
That farm has been sold and is now being, to my way of thinking, probably destroyed. It's owned by a landscaping company. They are growing and selling shrubbery and that sort of thing, and have sold a lot of topsoil off of it.
Right.
My brother has retained about 200 acres of the original farm and still lives there, but does little farming. What he's basically interested in is woods work. He likes that.
Right.
He's old enough to retire from it, but that type of living is not conducive to retirement.
Right. Mr. Webb, I just want to ask you if there's anything else that you may have remembered or jogged your memory on, anything that you'd like to share with us today?
Well, there's probably a lot of things, but bring them to mind just like that,
right,
is not so easy, perhaps. There's a lot of things that used to happen when we were in that area. People made their own entertainment. Sleigh rides were very nice.
Right.
You know, and I had probably not so much when I was living there as when I might be back there on a vacation or something, mm-hmm, like that, and then get in on one of these sleigh rides, and it was a lot of fun, you know.
Right.
Get out and out in the fresh air like that, and carrying on and singing and having, right, a great time.
So all in all, life on the farm was a good life.
I think life was on a farm had its good points, that's for sure.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it was probably better than it was poor.
There you go. On that note, Mr. Webb, I want to thank you very much for meeting today and sharing with us a link to the past.
I hope that I've given you something to work on.
I assure you, you definitely have.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.